Once again, this is Robert Rawson standing in for Ed Castile. You may or may not know that Brother Ed's wife had an accident and had to have surgery on her shoulder. And as a result of that, he's been busy during the course of this present week and asked that if I could take a place of him in this radio broadcast today, which I am delighted to do. God bless you all for listening to this program, and Let the Bible Speak is the ideal of it. This congregation at Central Academy is making available this program along with the brethren at Cortland as well as Sardis. The services at Central Academy are at 9:30 Bible study, a 10:30 worship service, and 5 p.m. worship service that afternoon on Sundays. Wednesdays at 6 p.m. is the Bible study time. Cortland and Sardis have the same times. The Bible study is at 10 a.m. and the worship is at 11 a.m. at Cortland and Sardis. And at 5 p.m. they have worship service in the Sunday afternoon. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for both Cortland and Sardis. You're invited to be a part of those services with them at any time, and we trust that y'all are in prayer for Ed and Iris, as Ed is a caregiver and Iris is a care receiver of all this transition time to be better. We trust that that's the case, and we pray to that end that that's the case. Nice to be with you today. This is Robert Rawson speaking, and thank you once again for your consideration of what the Bible says on the theme and subject. Let's see what the Bible says about this particular theme. The subject I've chosen today for study is a study regarding the place of the Old Testament of the Bible. Have you ever wondered when you opened the Bible and you saw Old Testament? And then over page, three-fourths of the way over, you saw a page for New Testament. Have you ever wondered why the Old Testament is there? The Old Testament is a way of beginnings for us in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are notations that are given by those who are scientists that the first verse of Genesis chapter 1 involves all the knowable studies that have been done in science throughout the years. In the beginning, that's time. God, that's the ultimate force. Created, that is, he uses energy to do so. The heavens, that's space, and the earth, that's matter. When we talk about these particular things, we're talking about things that are put in the first verse of the Old Testament of the Bible, the book of beginnings, the Genesis account, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice that in regard to this matter, the Old Testament of the Bible is said in the New Testament to be that which will direct us toward God's attitude and mannerisms of work with people. For whatsoever things are written aforetime, Paul wrote in Romans 15 at verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Referring to the Old Testament as Scripture, the Word of God, the idea of being true and accurately God's Word. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We are to learn from those examples that are recorded in the Old Testament of the Bible. Now, when he says in this regard, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, now all these things, talking about the Old Testament things, now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 11. If you think that the Old Testament is just there because it occupies space and occupies time and occupies a lot of different names that are mentioned there, you are in error. The Old Testament is written for a purpose of directing us to think about how that these are examples to us, and they are written for our admonition. We're admonished to really pay attention to the things that are written. Let's go into the Old Testament of the Bible for just a little bit and take a look at a few of these things that are written there for our learning. If we would be patient enough and timely enough to pay attention to what's said there, we would make changes in our daily walk of life as well. Changes that perhaps those particular individuals did not make. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we read regarding the creation of man. And we read regarding his helpmeet who was made for him. And how God instructed them, of every tree you may eat in the garden freely, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. They were warned not to be people who even looked at it, touched it, longed for it. They were to be people who did not pay attention to that at all. They were to do any other fruit that was available, whether it was an apple or whether it was some other kind of fruit, is up to question in regard to history, because the Bible doesn't say to us. But it does tell us that Eve was tempted of Satan, who came into the garden. And Satan advised her that God had lied to her, that she would be as wise as God if she ate of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. She looked at it, saw it was good for food, and did eat of it. Then took it to her husband that he did eat of it. Now we see there how that God was offended greatly because they had disobeyed him. And as a result of that, they were banished from that garden of paradise. And out in the garden in which they were out of sorts of all the things that are there, they found themselves in a world filled with uncertainty, which you and I have been born into even today. A world filled with uncertainty. Uncertainty of weather, and uncertainty of climates, uncertainty of seasons. Although they are thereby set up for us, we don't know exactly when that's going to be and what's going to be from one day to the next. So it is that Adam and Eve were sent out into this garden, out of the garden into the world at large. Can we not learn a lesson from that? That God meant what he said, and that they should not partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil? In the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. They understood the word death to mean separation. You'll be separated from me, separated from God. That's the idea in James chapter 2. As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith, if it hath not works. Notice that as the body without the spirit, separated from the spirit, is dead. And so is the faith. If it does not have activity with it, it's dead. So it is that when we're taught today about faith, we need to be obedient to the Lord's word and obedient to his will as we live from day to day in that work. When we find ourselves doing God's will, we find a blessing from it. But when we find ourselves not doing God's will, we find ourselves cursed from it. Can we learn that, benefit from that? Paul said we could in Romans 15, verse 4. Whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. You and I can do that. We can obey the Lord and have a great sense of hope as we live. Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 24, by hope you're saved. But if you do see something, why do you yet hope for it? He said it's something we don't yet see, but we hope for it. And as a result of that hope, we maintain a way of obeying God throughout our lives. And as a result, we enjoy very much the hope that we have for heaven itself. If we do not have that hope within our lives because we see it, we're already there. But we're not there yet, and thus we live by hope that saves the soul. Romans 8 at 24. Other examples in the Old Testament of the Bible are certainly significant for us. In 1 Kings chapter 13, we're introduced to a young man who is a prophet of God. This prophet of God is told to go up to Bethel and go to an altar that has been built by Jeroboam there, and how that he is worshiping this idol way, and call out against that altar. But he is so instructed go up that way, go by a route that you go, do not eat or drink anything when you're in that land, and do not return by the route that you went into the land. Vary your return to me. God's instruction to this man of God, this prophet of God, was carried out by him as he went into that land, came to that altar, called out against that altar, and as a result, he found himself being challenged by the king there, by Jeroboam, whose hand was actually stayed as he began to perhaps strike the prophet of God. And he begged of him to heal him and help him, and it happened, and God blessed the man to have his hand again, and the idea was to be set forth that he was to neither eat nor drink. And thus, when he was offered wonderful blessings from Jeroboam, he shunned it, he turned it down, saying that God has instructed me to not eat or drink in this land, and not to return by the way that I came into the land. As a result, I'm going on my way home another way. And goodbye. There was an old prophet in that country who claimed to be. He was not a true prophet. But his sons were there seeing this event, and they rushed home to tell their father what had happened there and how this man of God had done this. And the old prophet said, which route did he go? And they knew which route he went. They sought him out, and the prophet went to him and said, I too am a prophet, meaning I too am a prophet of God. And he has sent me to tell you that he's changed the words, he's changed the plan, and you to come home with me and eat and refresh yourself at my table. And the prophet believed him. He didn't check back with God to see if in fact that had been the decision made now. He simply decided this man was telling him obviously the truth, and he had now time to refresh himself in that land, and thus he went to be refreshed in that land. During this time, he found himself enjoying a meal and enjoying the circumstances of this event. And he went on his way home then once again, when suddenly, out of the way, there rose a lion and attacked him and then stood by his side as a result of his death. The lion was still standing there, when in fact, the old prophet of God, hearing what had happened, came there and was truly sorry, apparently. But the young prophet had believed what he said, and his life had been taken. Can we learn anything from this account in 1 Kings chapter 13 and following? Can we learn anything from this Old Testament scripture? If we'll have patience and comfort of the scripture, then we will be people who have hope, Paul wrote in Romans 15 at verse 4. What about it? Do we see God meaning what he said? And no matter what others may have said, and no matter how they appear to be so religious and so truthful in their ways, they're not saying the word of God. They're not quoting it within the context of which it's stated. And as a result, there are people who believe it nevertheless these days. Is this the way that we ought to understand the teaching of God's will? In God's word in the New Testament, when Jesus said in John 12 at verses 48 and 49, these words are not my own, but these words are the words of the Father that I speak unto you. He gave me these words to speak unto you. And if you reject me and receive not my word, nor the Father's word, you have one that will judge you. This word that I have spoken, the Father's word, will judge you in the last day. Jesus said that in John 12 at 48 and 49. And thus I ask of you, can we learn from this benefit of the Old Testament account of the prophet of God in 1 Kings chapter 13? Let's go to another example in the Old Testament of the Bible, an example of Noah in his day. In Genesis chapter 6, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, found themselves entering into the ark as God had instructed them to do. As they built this ark of gopher wood, Noah found himself looking for the opportunity to escape the great deluge of water that was coming on the earth. There's been evidence of this great flood that has been part of scientific studies on mountain ranges, finding there remains of sea creatures that are there, that there's no other reasonable explanation for them being there, except that there was by water lifted up there, and when the water receded, they were left there on the ledges of those mountain ranges. Nevertheless, the idea here is Noah obeyed the Lord. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 tells us that Noah did what the Lord said to do, that he obeyed the Lord, and the Lord instructed him to enter into the ark and shut the door behind him. How many people were outside? The rest of the people of the world were outside that ark. They had not listened to the teaching that Noah had done. In Hebrews chapter 11, Noah is brought to attention. It is said there regarding Noah, he endured because he feared God, and he heard God, and he obeyed what God said, and he became a judge of righteousness against those who did not obey what God said do. Can we learn anything from Noah's benefit during that day of the flood? Can we benefit ourselves as we read that scripture in Genesis 6 through chapter 8? Can we read that and read it with idea that if I hear God's word today, and I need to be instructed by it, and I need to be obedient to it, that I can be obedient to it, because I read there, whatsoever things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Paul's words in Romans 15 at verse 4 are now cited in 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 11 as an admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. There is a coming, a judgment day. Hebrews 9 at verse 27 tells us that you and I will die someday unless we are there when the Lord comes again and make the changes there to take place. We'll find ourselves in death someday. As it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 9 at 27. When the idea is that we're facing the judgment, and Jesus said in John 12, 48 and 49, it's out of the Father's words that we'll be judged. And we read the words of the Father to these various ones in the Old Testament of the Bible, Adam and Eve, to the prophet of 1 Kings 13, and to Noah in Genesis chapter 6. Can we not learn and benefit from what we see there happen to those people in their lives, obedient to God's will, escaping a great flood in this occasion, as Noah obeyed God? He moved with fear, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he judged the world, and became an heir of righteousness by faith. You see, his faith was involved with activity. His faith was involved with obeying what God said for him to do. Build thee an ark of gopher wood. This man did what God said do. As a result, he was blessed thereby. The congregations that furnish you this broadcast are congregations that are important to the ideals. The brethren there are of the ideals of what God has said in His Word we should practice. The congregation at Central Academy that meets this morning for Bible study will be in Bible study classes about what God's Word says on whatever subject they have in that class today. It's at 9:30 this morning. Worship will be at 10:30. and at 5 p.m. this afternoon there at Central Academy. And again on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, Bible study classes will be done. The Cortland congregation and the Sardis congregation are also a part of helping this broadcast to be on the air each Sunday morning. And the Cortland congregation and the Sardis congregation have the same time periods, Bible study at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m., and worship also at 5 p.m. for Cortland and Sardis. On Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, each one has their Bible study class times. What do they study in the Bible? They study the context in which statements are found. They make the application to us today as to what we should do and practice in life. And as a result of that, be the people that God would have us to be. Can you benefit from anything that you read in the Old Testament of the Bible? Many people like the stories of the Bible, and they use those stories for good, for the teaching is true and accurate. But application made to us in this Christian dispensation, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 10 at verse 11. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We find ourselves in that last dispensation of time, this Christian dispensation of time. And as a result, we find ourselves being admonished by the things that were written before time, written to show us an example of what we should be doing or not doing as a result of seeing what they did. Ed and Iris are very much involved with the recovery from a surgery that went underway this past week. Miss Iris, we trust, is doing so well and so much better. And as a result of that, our prayers go out for Ed and Iris as a caregiver and a care receiver for this particular time. This is Robert Rawson standing in today for Brother Ed, who does such a wonderful study with you morning by morning on Sunday mornings on this broadcast. Let the Bible speak is an important matter because it's God speaking His word and His will to our lives. Would there be another example in the Old Testament of the Bible? Well, what about examples in the New Testament of the Bible? In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, reference is made to the misuse of the Lord's Supper. Now, what did Jesus say about the Lord's Supper? Back in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at 26, we read regarding Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper with his disciples, telling them to partake of this bread, and remember that this bread represented his body, and this fruit of the vine represented his blood that was shed for many for the remission of sins. They were to partake of this in remembrance of him, he said, till I come again. Here are the brethren at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, partaking of what they call the Lord's Supper. But they have mixed it done and matched it up with all other kinds of foods beside unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. What have they done? They have mixed this food with other foods, and they're very happy and very pleased to come together, rush together, and eat without any thought about any others coming. And they were told not to do that, that that was not the right thing for them to do. They were to tarry on one another till they got together and then partake of this bread, which reminds them of the body of Christ, and this fruit of the vine, which reminds them of the blood that was shed for them for the remission of their sins. They are instructed that they are eating and drinking condemnation to their souls because they're not eating the Lord's Supper, they're eating their own supper. How did they go about changing this? They went about it because they decided it was a nice thing to do. The instruction of the Lord, back there in Matthew 26, was to do this in remembrance of me. And this unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine was to be used in order to remember me and remember what I did for you and Many times it will bring tears to our eyes as we partake of the Lord's Supper, for in his body, hanged upon the cross, bearing our sins in his own body. And by drinking of this fruit of the vine, we find ourselves reflecting on the blood of Jesus that cleansed us from our sins. And it brings a thought within our heart, within our stomachs, within our minds, and sadness becomes a part of that scene as we partake of the Lord's Supper. But what did these brethren do in 1 Corinthians 11? They were eating and drinking damnation to their souls because they were not eating the Lord's Supper. He says, you're not doing the Lord's Supper. It's your own supper. Read it for yourself in 1 Corinthians 11. How they were to repent of this matter. Change what they were doing. Come back to what the Lord had said about this matter. And thus they would be faithful to him, and they would be a blessed people because of him. When we think about this, we think about the ways in which we worship today. Do we find ourselves worshiping God according to the pattern that's listed in the New Testament of our Bible? In the New Testament of the Bible, we find where they sang, Ephesians 5:19, with melody in their heart to the Lord. We find where they prayed. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15, we find where they prayed, and they were to pray in that way, honoring the Lord. We find where they were a part of preaching services, and they were to pray and preach in words that easily were understood by everyone attending, even those who were not members that attended a service. Otherwise, they will leave, he says, saying, you are insane, you're mad, because they don't understand. They saw the significance of their mannerism. They heard the loudness maybe of their voice. They heard the insistence of the language, but they didn't understand what the language was. And they left saying, these people are mad. They're insane. They are people who are expecting us to do something, but we do not know what they're telling us that we should do. When we find the worship of God being done in the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, we want to have the Lord's Supper, not our own supper that we're partaking of. The brethren are warned not to do that, 1 Corinthians 11. Notice in regard to this matter that we're to be people who are giving in a needful situation too. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And he says that there be no gatherings when I come. There was a great famine that was coming over in Judea, and a great need was going to be there. And as a result of that, they had an opportunity to help those people, and they did in such a marvelous way. Macedonia, Corinth as well, they did such a wonderful contribution. And they are told that they blessed the brethren as well as their friends there in the region of Judea. Notice that in this regard, all men were blessed because of their efforts. When we find this going on, we find a way in which they were serving God as they gave of what they had been blessed by their making a living from day to day. Thank you for your time this morning. This study has been a study regarding the things of the Old Testament and the New Testament as examples given to us, so that we can follow those examples faithfully and do God's will today rather than our own. The Central Academy Congregation gathers this morning for Bible study classes at 9:30 and worship at 10:30 and at 5 p.m. this evening, and Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. The Cortland Congregation and Sardis Congregation work with Central Academy in regard to this broadcast, and they will have their Bible study classes at 10 a.m. this morning and worship at 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. this afternoon, and then Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And you certainly are invited to go and be a part of services with them and insist of them that they use just the Word of God, the Word of the Father, that Jesus said in John 12:49, will be the word that judges us in the last day. Thanks for your time. This is Robert Rawson, standing in for Ed Castile today.